We gather in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Stories are very special things. We read them in novels and in textbooks. We see them on stage and on screen. Or perhaps these days, I should just say, they're shared on Facebook and Instagram. But however we learn of them, people's stories are important. They're how we get to know each other. They're how we teach our children. They're how we pass along our precious family traditions. They are the age-old answer to the question, how was your day, honey? In fact, it's been suggested that above all else, it is the experiences of our lives that most shape our worldviews. By that I mean, if you listen long enough to the stories of my life, you will know my hopes and my fears, my successes and my failures, my biases and my beliefs. They make us who we are. And we share all of those experiences with others primarily through stories. We heard plenty of them tonight. We started with the recitation of stories that are thousands and thousands of years old. We heard how God saved the people of ages past. And that was to help convince us that God will do the same for us. In fact, we've remembered lots of stories and lots of people over this whole last week between all these services. But I want you to think now about the stories of the faithful followers of Jesus. Let's start with those stalwarts of the faith, the disciples. There is Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times. Peter, James, and John, his best friends, who couldn't stay awake for an hour while Jesus suffered in the garden. There was Judas, but we know how that turned out. And tonight, in Mark's account of the women at the tomb, the best they could muster was to run away in fear and silence. But I'm glad, because their fear is part of the beauty of tonight for me. Mark's narrative draws the reader in and invites you to think about how you would respond if you were there with them. And I can't imagine it would be any different. Fear is the natural response to a threat. And while Jesus clearly was not going to harm them, the empty tomb threatened their entire worldview, as it should ours. Something just happened that was not only impossible, but would change everything. Their fear is exactly where we find the abundance of grace in that event. Paul says that all of us were baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus. Not just the ones who could stay awake, not just the ones who were unafraid, not the perfect ones, not the ones who deserve it. And that is what we celebrate tonight. We celebrate a loving God who would not leave any of us behind. And the empty tomb stands as a testimony to that love. And so we are all united to Christ, each and every one of us. Paul uses some really dense language to explain what that means. But for now, there are just 2 main points. First, when Jesus died, the sin of the world died with him. Those sins are buried and gone. When God looks at us, God does not see all the stuff we have done. God sees the righteousness of the spotless Christ, an infinite payment for an infinite debt. His death and resurrection then also set us free from the power that sin holds over us. It doesn't mean we're going to get it right every time. because we certainly will not. But we can say that we are no longer slaves to it, and that our hearts are open. It gives us a new life in the here and the now, a new life as people who are loved and forgiven and restored to the perfection of true humanity. But second, when we say we are joined to Christ's resurrection, we also speak of a new life that is coming at some point in the future. Elsewhere in the Bible, the resurrection of Jesus is called the first fruits, the beginning of the harvest, meaning there is still more to come one day when Jesus returns to the earth. And thus, the Easter Vigil becomes a symbol for us, a powerful one, I hope, a symbol of how we live between baptism and resurrection, how we await the coming of the kingdom actively, not passively. Because if we are united to Christ, we refuse to accept the world the way it is, a groaning world that cries out for redemption. We promised that at our baptisms, and we do that again every time we renew that covenant, as we will shortly. But we're not baptized into a vacuum. We are baptized into a community. I read once that being baptized is like jumping onto a moving train. The authors say that because we become part of a journey that began long before we got here and will continue long after we're gone. And so tonight, through the stories, we join ourselves to all of creation. We join ourselves to Abraham and Sarah. We join ourselves to Noah and his family. We join ourselves to the nation of Israel. We join ourselves to Ezekiel and all the prophets. We join ourselves to Jesus. We join ourselves to the stories of all of his disciples, the ones in the past, the present, and the future. We join ourselves to God's grand plan for the salvation of the world, trusting that God is big enough to make everything right again. And like the women in the story, we too find the tomb empty this night. You know what? Terror and amazement seem totally appropriate to me. Happy Easter, my friends.